This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
I'm just made up, to be honest. I'm so happy. And I was having a wobble, I'm not going to lie, at 1 year, what now? But then having got to 1 year and 1 day, I just thought, this is amazing. I wouldn't want to take this away from myself for any reason whatsoever. And I won't. I can't go back to day one. It was too hard to start. And the benefits, you know, all the trips I've had this year, I wouldn't have been able to afford those had I been drinking. There's so many benefits, and it's just looking forward to things now and remembering things like Ibiza. I remembered everything.
You're going to hear so much more from this week's fantastic guest on Over the Influence, Melody, who joined OTI when she was around a month or so into her alcohol-free journey. Melody is from Chester. She's a community member. She's ace. We love her to bits. And at the time of recording, she is 1 year, 1 week, and 1 day alcohol-free. She's got loads of stuff to share. The community members that were on the Zoom watching the recording said the same thing, all of them. Melody, that is just so relatable, so, so relatable. And we're sure so many of you will take away a lot from today's chats with Melody on OTI. One of the things she says during the course of the episode, this life is so much better for me and my children. And who can argue with that? Let's get back to the episode and hear much more from Melody.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Helen, and I stopped drinking alcohol almost exactly 7 years ago. When I stopped drinking, I really felt a lot of benefits. My health was better, my finances were better, my attention was better, and I really felt like I started to kind of grow up as a person. At times, it was still difficult. At times, even now, I feel like sometimes it's hard to explain to people why I don't drink. And sometimes still, I feel like I'm a bit alone on this journey. But a couple of years ago, I found Over the Influence, and that really changed things a lot for me. And I just felt like I wasn't alone in this journey anymore. It's just so nice to have this massive connection with all these like-minded people. Come along to Over the Influence and be part of an amazing community.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. It is ace to have you listening. We are going to keep these intros brief today. No, we really, really are. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am 50 years old. I stopped drinking 6 years ago, hands down. The best thing I ever did. In many ways, it was life-changing and magical. But anyway, Ben, how are you?
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm 36. I live in Liverpool. 4 years alcohol-free. And before we get into it, can I just say how lovely it is to see some new faces on our call today? Because if you join the Over the Influence community, one of the perks of your membership is you get to watch the podcast recordings live. Yes, live. You can be in our studio Zoom audience.
Why are you talking like lovely. This? You've got into commercial radio mode.
Got into advert voice. You can find us at 68... whatever street
and there's a car park at the rear.
There's a car park at the rear. Right, it's been a long day. It's just great to see some new community members. Welcome to the call. And of course, we've got a community member in the hot seat today. Yes, Charles, we love these episodes.
We don't do. We? Absolutely. There is nothing better on the podcast than when we speak to an Over the Influence community member. It gives us great pleasure today to welcome Melody, who is from Chester, who is 1 year, 1 week and 1 day alcohol-free. Big up your bad self. Melody, how you feeling?
A bit starstruck now. I've listened to the intro live targeted at me. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's me. That's me. Yeah,
and I'm on it. I'm going to be on it.
Chuffed to bits that you are here. Now, first things first, let's just address the elephant in the room. You're feeling a little bit nervous. That's okay. Don't be. You've got so much to share. We think the world of you as a community member, Melody. And there's a reason why you're joining us today. So let's just put that to bed. All right. You're amongst friends.
Okay. Thanks. I don't normally go quiet, but...
Listen, you've been on enough of my Zooms over the last year, and I know you can talk, and I know you are not particularly quiet, so...
No, I'm not.
Forget that we're recording. It's just going to be a chat all about sobriety, about where you were and where you are now. And can we start with that? And first of all, huge congratulations on the year. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's amazing, and we've seen firsthand how your life has changed over the last 12 months, 1 week and 1 day. Let's rewind to life before that, Melody, and what it was like and why you decided to go, you know what, I'm going to take a break from the booze.
I think it's like so many people, especially with children that are sort of drinking wine in the mummy culture, wine culture, and drinking too often or too much. I mean, with me, it was always on the weekends, and I always liked to party. And then I had children younger than all my other friends, so I didn't really stop then either, because all our friends were still single and still wanting to go out. And then when they all had children, they all stopped drinking, but we kind of didn't really. So then I think about lockdown, it just increased like it does for so many people, just being at home a lot. And that's when I started to really think about it, probably about 4 years ago, was when I was really starting to question sort of my relationship with it and how it was affecting me and my family the next day. And I was very much like how you say, too much and too quickly and too often. And it was, you know, once I popped, I couldn't stop. Not that it was every day or anything, but it was, you know, Thursday to Sunday, and then lockdown was a lot longer.
Yeah.
So it was just my children were getting older. I felt like they were noticing a lot more. Like my very last stint was just me feeling very sorry for myself for a really long amount of time. And I just thought, I can't do it anymore. So I'd been curious for about 4 years, but it's this last year, obviously. And then a month, because I joined you July 2023, but I didn't go, but I had a few mishaps before then. But you always welcome me back. So here we are.
Of course.
1 year, 1 week. And one day.
Of course. And God, how many times do we say it, Melody, to anybody listening to this now and to anybody in our community? If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And it's certainly not a linear journey, is it? Can we go back to lockdown and talk a little bit more about that and how alcohol began to impact you maybe more negatively? Because, you know, we've spoken to a lot of people that were affected, you know, in lockdown. A number of people completely stopped drinking. They went, right, that's it, that's me done. And they used it as an opportunity to do that. And a lot of people went the other way and it ramped up. What did it look like for you? What was that like?
I think when you have... So we went into lockdown. My husband wasn't working. We have holiday lets and things. They were closed down. So we were having nothing. We weren't going to school. I was homeschooling, which is another story. But, you know, when you've got nothing to get up for, you don't mind having a drink the night before. And it wasn't a problem until kind of when you eventually are trying to get back into a normal routine. It kind of, you can feel that it is not normal to, you know, it felt fine in those circumstances of lockdown and no work. But once we started to come back to it, it was just wasn't working with our lives anymore. And I think also, you know, the young mums, your mum, did she say, like, in your 20s, you can do it. And in your 30s, you just, you know, it's harder. The hangovers are harder and work is harder. So, yeah. I don't think I answered that very well.
You answered that
You're
very
doing
well.
Great.
Yeah,
you're doing
absolutely.
Really great, Melody. Can I also say it's really nice to have you on a Zoom call where you're not doing the washing or making the kids' lunches? Because every time Melody joins my Saturday morning Zoom call, you go, Melody, do you want to talk? She kind of pops her head in. She goes, oh, yeah, well, I think this, and says something really wise, and goes, right, I've just got to go and quickly go and get the washing out of the machine. She runs off and she comes back again. You have got a busy life, Melody, haven't you?
Oh, she's on a treadmill. On a treadmill, she's been on my calls. Yeah.
It's really interesting hearing you talk through that, because actually there's a few things that have already come up. I always like to make notes on these. And the first thing I've written down is OTI. Yes. Because, you know, you say that you joined us in July. You had a couple of, you know, couple of drinks, and then you went right full in just over, you know, 1 year, 1 week, 1 day ago. But, you know, we always say, don't we, OTI is a place for people who want to be alcohol free. And I think that's a really important thing. You know, it's not a place for people who are alcohol free. It's for people who want to be alcohol free. You know, you can join us, and, you know, how often does that happen, Shaz, where people go, look, I'm really trying this, but at the moment I can't seem to get a string of days together.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean that you can't join us. That's kind of what we're here for, is to help you get that string of days together, so you're 1 year, 1 week, 1 day alcohol free. The other thing you said there, Melody, which is really, really interesting, I want to talk more about, is that idea that when you've got nothing to get up for, just drinking is easier. Can you talk through that? Because obviously it was still a, you know, a busy house during lockdown. I can't remember how many kids you've got, but, you know, it's a, you're always, there's always something going on in your place, yeah, isn't there?
Yeah, but then that's again the way you see me now is just completely different from the way I was like 4 years ago. I mean, the girls were younger, so it was just, it's just the difference of that slow morning, you know, like in the summer holidays when nobody's going to school and nobody's going to work, and you can just get up and do it slowly, and the kids can watch telly for a bit, as opposed to everybody up. Where are your shoes? Where's your water bottle? Where's your packed lunch? Have you done your homework? Reading? You know, it's just so much slower. So when you think that is your sort of, oh, okay, well, you know, we've not really got anything on tomorrow. So, you know, the weekends blurred into weeks, which blurred into months in that lockdown. And it, we went into lockdown the day before my 31st birthday. That can't be right. That's not right. I can't do math.
Oh, I'm listen, 36. I'm the world's worst. I'm 36. How old are you now? 36?
36.
So lockdown was 4 years ago. So 32?
Okay, 30 seconds. There we go.
Melody is in her 30s. That's what we're going to start
with. So it was that. I mean, yeah, of course I had things to do, but there wasn't as much washing because we probably all lived in our pyjamas. There was only homeschooling, but my children were 3 and 4, 5 at the time. So they're just, you know, it just wasn't, and no dance class, you know, it was, of course I had something to get up for, and I wasn't like depressed and thought I didn't have to get up for anything. It was just no responsibilities in terms of jobs, children, school, and extracurriculars, you know, everything was slower, and it was enjoyable at first. But then as everything started to open up, people were like, oh, we can be together again. So then that was another excuse to drink.
Yeah.
And then the weather was great. So that was another excuse to drink. And then we got a caravan in Abersop, and that was an excuse to drink every weekend, all weekends. And it just felt like alcohol was just around me all the time, and I couldn't say no to it. And I wasn't saying no to it, and I really wanted to by the end of it. I didn't want to drink anymore. I wanted to be sober for my kids. I wanted to be like that, you know, active mum on the treadmill and doing the washing like I am now. And so I went online and I found OTI, and I went straight on a Zoom at 1 p.m. Zoom on like a Thursday in July last year. And there's only two others on it, like Charlie and Paul, Irish Paul, I think.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah. And it was just lovely. And it was just normal people like myself who, I say normal.
That's interesting though, because what did you think then when you were a drinker? What kind of person quits drinking then?
Well, I mean, yeah, a lot of people would think the person on the bench is the person that quit drinking. But knowing myself and why I wanted to, it's not really the way I thought anymore. I just really wanted to find people I could talk to. And what it's given me as well is huge accountability, because I don't want to let anyone here down anymore. So it's sort of that. So I know you're all there for me when I, you know, when I did slip up. And then when I have my moments of thinking or feeling low about the situation, I know that I can just come on a Zoom and everyone will tell me that everything's going to be fine and not to stop drinking. And so it's been the best thing. And I've never told anyone about OTI. I think I've told about 2 people in a year, and I've this week I've told about 4 more people because I didn't know how they would react. But now that I've got so far, I don't really care what anyone else thinks. So, and it's the fact of it is how much it's helped me. You can't do anything but tell people about it, really.
Well, you're about to tell thousands across the globe. Don't let that put you off.
Really? My name is Cinderella.
No, you should be dead proud. And we can hear that. And we feel really proud of where you've come because I remember you being on my calls, Melody, in the early days, and particularly, you know, if you had a weekend coming up at your caravan in Abersock or you had a night out with the girls or whatever it was. And I could just sense how much you wanted it to change. You've just touched on this now, and yet it's not that easy, is it? The noise in your head. And yeah, you might get to Thursday and think, oh, sod it. It's just easier. It's just easier to keep on drinking. And all right, blips and trips along the way. Find me somebody that hasn't. Do you know what I mean? It's not linear. It's not easy. It's not a straight road. But you just kept going. You kept going. You kept going. And you found OTI. And the difference that has made you, well, we can see that. But can we just talk a little bit more about when it was really hard for you in those early days? Because you're not the first person to cry on a Zoom. I've cried on them all the time. You'll never be the last. I don't mean to embarrass you there or make you feel silly at all.
No,
it's about the frustration and the difficulty and thinking, I can't bloody do this. But you can, because you're sitting here now 1 year, 1 week and 1 day, and we're celebrating that fact. What was it like when it was hard in those maybe first few weeks, first couple of months?
Oh, it was so hard because I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have any plan. I just knew I wanted to stop. So I had to sort of buckle in, and I hibernated. I must admit, I really, considering what I've ended up doing in the last 6 months, the first 6 months were really me being very selfish. It was a case of going to bed on my own with my iPad because, you know, I'd associate the sofa with my husband drinking wine. So there was things I just had to really be selfish and do what I needed to do to protect what I was doing at the time. And slowly but surely, you start to feel better and you start to sleep better. And then you realize that, yes, you're being selfish for this small amount of time. And yes, it's really hard. And, you know, you have all these emotions. I remember just crying one day, numerous times. I thought, what the hell is wrong with me?
You sound like me, I get this.
Yeah, and then it's a radio song. And then my daughter said something really cute. And I just was crying. And then, is this what it feels like to not be numb? Is that what this is? You know, I'm sort of coming to. I'm starting to feel, oh, emotions. That's what those things are. And there have been tough times as well where, you know, I think I used to, my drinking started because I used to want to sort of mask your feelings, especially when I was younger. And, you know, you see on the films, people are sad and they're like a bottle of whiskey to drown their sorrows. And I was a young, dramatic child. And I think I took that really literally when I watched the videos. So if I felt sad, I'd do that. But then I'd end up like crying even more. But that's how I sort of related happiness and then sadness and then stress and everything. So, it, you know, you drink for any reason in the end.
Can I ask you, can I just rewind slightly, when you were taking yourself up to bed with the iPad, was that selfish or was that disciplined? The reason I ask is because I'm really interested in that moment, you know, and what brings people to that, especially you said that you've been thinking about this for years before you actually did it. you know, that bite the bullet moment. I'm so interested in that. The moment where it sticks and finding out why. Like, were you being selfish or was it actually you'd made a decision and you were being disciplined?
I think when I first joined OTI in July, I did a month. I did my longest stint. I did 32 days and I went to the caravan and then I failed. And then my husband said, you know, he's been so supportive, so please don't get me wrong in this. But I knew he was like, he just hated how I beat myself up every time I failed.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're putting too much pressure on yourself. You know, you get so upset when you don't manage it. And, you know, you're fine. You're a great parent, you know, because I would be like, I'm the worst mother in the world and blah, blah, blah. So he just hated how much I beat myself up about it. So then the second time, one day, I kept it to myself because I wanted to prove him wrong. Because I was like, I don't want to be that girl that keeps talking about it and then not doing it. So it was a bit of stubbornness on my part. So yeah, I guess what you're saying, sorry, long-winded, it was discipline to prove people wrong.
Because I think there is a difference there because, you know, what I'm hearing is that, you know, yes, you tried this and you hate it when it doesn't work out and you try it again. And it's, you know, it's so many people have been there. So many people will be nodding along to this going, yeah, totally get that. Actually, what you decided to do is it wasn't because selfish is negative, isn't it? That's, you know, I was being really selfish and I wasn't thinking about other people around me. Actually, what you're saying is, right, this is the time where I went, this is the time and I've got a plan. And I'm looking at what's around me and I know if I sit on that sofa, the temptation will be there. So instead, I'm going to remove myself and part of the plan, I'm going to be disciplined with the plan, is I go upstairs and do this. And I know that you've done that with other situations as well in your 1 year, 1 week, 1 day. Because you mentioned, you know, that first 6 months, you retracted a little bit, but you've been on two hen do's since then, Melody. One to Ibiza. You know, you've really put yourself in situations where you're not hiding from anyone anymore, are you? You're out there and being quite happily alcohol-free in all sorts of different places.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you said about selfish being a negative, but sometimes it's just needed. And people, especially people who are a people-pleaser like myself, and a lot of people I've met in the community, we all relate in the people-pleasing, for like, you know, sector of life. So I don't think you should always think of selfishness as a negative, because sometimes it's really necessary. Sometimes we have to put ourselves first. And the reason when we don't, that's why we kind of don't make changes that we need for ourselves. So yes, I understand the sort of negative connotations to selfish, the word selfish, but I think sometimes, and what I've learned is to just be a bit selfish and I put myself first and I've learned to say no to things, and I love it. It feels like an amazing power, to be honest. And the people pleasing is gone. I mean, it's still there, obviously, and I like to make people happy, but yeah, I have got rid of all that. But yeah, since my hibernation streak ended, I have been very busy.
Mm-hmm.
Two weddings, two hen do's, and a couple of holidays. But yeah, Ibiza was the one I was most worried about, but it was actually the most fun. It was great, actually. It was really good.
Talk us through it. And I think you worry about, because it's a lot of people's nightmare, that.
Oh, no. Well, I was going with my best friend from high school. So we've been best friends since we were 12. We've gone through all our eras together. And I was really worried about it because, you know, we've always loved to like party and go wild. So I was worried. I was. But then I just had to explain to her, you know, that I don't want to undo the 9 months, which it was at the time, the 9 months worth of hard work for one weekend, which will just send me back into a huge spiral of anxiety. And that this life is much better for me and much better for my children. And I didn't get any grief from anyone. Everyone still said, you know, you're still really fun and you're exactly the same. Unfortunately, I still say inappropriate things and have verbal diarrhea. So the things I was hoping would go away becoming alcohol free haven't. So anyway, luckily it was a lot of day things. I did go to Ushuaia, which was interesting. I loved it because I love music. But then my friend said, don't lose each other, because when it goes dark, you'll never find each other again. And I just went, I'm going to go home now, because I was just not ready to be lost on my own sober in Ushuaia at all.
Yeah.
So I took myself off, and my friends were all just saying, their only worry was, are you going to get home okay? Are you sure? No, nobody gave me any grief. They were all really proud of me. And I think that made it a lot easier. I've had a lot of really great support from my friends and stuff. So yeah, we did just some really fun boat trips, lunches. No, it was great. I'm so glad I did it sober, because I wouldn't have had as much fun had I been drinking. I wouldn't have.
I love everything you've said. I love it all. And actually, listening to you share now, it's taking me back like 5-6 years from when I started. And I just want to pick up on a couple of things that you've said. You know, you were explaining to your friends about the hen night and how you wanted to remain sober and not undo 9 months of really, really flipping hard work, because
being
to quote,
disciplined with that again, planning,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
All that, yeah.
It's not selfish. It's self-care. Actually,
there we go.
I bet that's in the book. I bet that's in the book. It's not selfish, it's self-care. Chapter 9.
Ben,
oh, it's the life-changing magic of quitting alcohol. Out on the 2nd of January 2025.
Yeah, you can get it on pre-order. Just send me a DM and I'll send you the link. Sorry, I digress. I apologise, Melody. this life is much better for me and my children. So that is a complete sentence, full stop. Who's going to argue with that? And what you said there about, you know, you hibernated for the first, however long it was, 4 months, 6 months. I did exactly the same. And I was in a pit of misery and self-loathing and hating life. This is awful. Sobriety is crap. Can't wait to get back on the other side of it. But it all begins to change. And then, as you said, you explain to your friends, look, okay, you're all at this big super club in Ibiza. I'm Dawn, and it's okay to put boundaries in place. I didn't know boundaries were a thing till I stopped drinking. And it's actually a really, really brilliant and powerful thing to say, no, thank you. And because you're doing this for you and your family, because it's a much better life for you and your children. But I think it takes balls of steel, Melody, male or female, to get to that point, doesn't it? Where you just want to protect what you've created. Because it continues to get better and you just don't want anything to get in your way once you are on a roll with this thing.
Well, Sharon, and I don't want to make you cry, but your podcast with Ella, the daughter, that is just tattooed in my brain, that whole episode, because it's my big whys of my kids. And when I listened to that podcast with your daughter, it was just, I don't know, triggering, you know, relatable. And my kids are a lot younger, but I want to sort of, you know, it was just so lovely to hear, and it helped me continue to not go back to that, because I know that, you know, it could be possible. I don't know how to say it. You know, it was just a turning point for me. And I think I listened to it at exactly the right time in my journey. But yeah, no, and that's one I send to people. You know, other mothers, because it was just really pulled at the heartstrings in all the right way. And especially as a mother, and when the reason why is the children. So I have to thank you and Ella for that actual podcast, because it's changed. That was really good one for me.
Yeah, no, and thank you for that. It was exactly slightly just over, but it was for my 5 years actually. And Bennett had arranged that behind my back. And it knocked me for six in a million different ways. And it was emotional, and it was very difficult to record. But yeah, for any parent, any carer, if you've got any doubts, any doubts whatsoever that, you know, you're not doing the right thing, just think of the impact on your kids, because we say, don't we, they notice when you're drinking. Like even when you think they don't, even when you think they're in another room, even when you think they're distracted with whatever, however you want to bullshit it to yourself, they notice everything when you're drinking. Equally, they notice everything when you are not. And that's massively important. You know, you don't expect fanfares or flipping marching bands and trumpets. Oh, aren't you doing well, Mum or Dad, for not drinking? They are noticing. And yeah, that podcast episode for me was incredibly powerful. And it knocked me for six. And I think I cried for about 2 months after it. But over it now.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah,
I mean, I really do want fanfare and banners. I was expecting party poppers.
You'll
on
get
my
them
ear,
from OTI, but you might not get them at home. We can sort that for you.
I was like, woke up and I was like, oh, nothing.
But again, it's there in your behaviour, in what you are choosing to do now, in being a present parent, in whatever it might be, however small it is, the impact is vast. So come to OTI for your trumpets and your celebrations, but just know you're completely on the right path, Melody. You so are.
Yeah, my kids have noticed, my youngest especially. She's like, so when's your year coming around? You know, and I was like, you've been listening to conversations, because she's like, so when's your year up? You know, and thinking, that's not really how 8-year-olds talk. Yeah. And she's like, I'm just curious. You've done really well, haven't you, Mummy?
Bless.
Like,
yeah, and she asked about the journey. If she starts using the J word.
Yeah. I've slipped that one in for her. But yeah, no, I think you were really brave to do that podcast. So it really was.
I didn't
helpful.
Have any choice. I had no choice.
True.
It was
brave.
But Ben,
well,
thank
Anna
you.
Was really brave then.
Yeah.
You know what? What you're saying about that podcast, Melody, can I just read you a few comments in the chat box? Gretchen said, Melody, your story is totally relatable, especially the Mommy Wine group. Camilla says, Melody, you're such an inspiration. I remember seeing you on Zooms. What a transformation. Danielle, you're such an inspiration for me, Melody. I see a lot of similarities to my story, and this helps me so much. Like, exactly what you're saying about Shaz and listening to that, people are saying right now about listening to your story, which is incredible. And it is very brave to do this and to put yourself out there to thousands of people across the globe and the world's favourite.
Ben, we're trying to
podcast.
Make her not feel nervous. Stop talking about the audience figures. Don't do that.
Just relaxing into it. And then
But Melody, you know, how do you feel about being then at 1 year, 1 week and 1 day? Because, and you know, again, I know that we talked about it. You're a planner. You look at things. You decide, right, this situation might not be good. I'm going to take myself upstairs. I'm going on a hen do to Ibiza. I'm going to talk to the girls beforehand. You planned, you're structured. We hear a lot from community members that year one is that first hen do, first wedding, first birthday, first this, tick, 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 Christmas. And a lot of the kind of thought and effort goes into, right, how am I going to... Year two, are you ready for it? Because it can be a bit of a roller coaster in some ways, Melody. I'm sure you've heard about it on some of our community Zooms.
I am so ready. I'm so happy. I can't believe I've got here. I just finally feel like a real person. I feel like a real person. I feel like an adult, finally. You know, I've got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I suddenly feel like I've got the hang of this whole parenting thing and house thing and work. It's so nice to just look at everything as a clearer picture and know that you can tackle it. And sometimes if it's really bad, just going to sleep and waking up completely clear the slate and make your mind clearer. And alcohol was never going to help me with that. I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. I'm just made up, to be honest. I'm so happy. And I was having a wobble, I'm not going to lie, at 1 year, what now? But then having got to 1 year and 1 day, I just thought, this is amazing. I wouldn't want to take this away from myself for any reason whatsoever. And I won't. I can't. I can't go back to day one. It was too hard to start. And the benefits, you know, all the trips I've had this year, I wouldn't have been able to afford those had I been drinking. There's so many benefits. And it's just looking forward to things now and remembering things like Ibiza. I remembered everything. And I didn't, honestly, and then when I had had enough, I went to bed. And normally I'd be there like, going, yeah, come on, let's keep going. But I'm up every morning and I'm walking. It's on a treadmill watching Love Island.
Yeah, it still counts. It's okay. It still counts.
Because I'm scared of the dark.
we do share a love for the same TV shows. Have you seen the new Love is Blind UK, Melody?
Of course.
Oh my God. How good was it? Should we talk about Alcohol Free Life or should we talk about the reunion? Oh my God.
And then there's my first night UK is just started.
Oh God, it's so good. Every night of the week. Sorry, Sharon. Sorry.
Yeah, don't mind me.
No, you like Love Island now.
You see, I had the operation and I was off work for 3 months. I didn't have to get up early and it coincided nicely with the start of Love Island, which I've never, ever watched. I used to scoff at Ben going, oh, for goodness sake.
What do you think you're doing? You're on your high horse and you were looking down at me.
And then
you turned on and there were some muscled men in trunks and you thought, I might give us a go.
I just stuck with it. Didn't feel right watching it, but I just wanted to make sure. So I stuck with it for 8 long weeks and it was bloody brilliant.
Well done.
This is nothing.
Have a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with Alcohol Free Life, though.
Okay, let's bring it back on track. Right, Melody.
I've got something.
Go on.
After you, Ben. Go first.
No, you go first. No, you hang up. Why did you have a wobble on 1 year?
I was feeling a bit boring.
Okay.
And everything. I was worrying about being boring. I'd had a bit of a bad experience at one thing, and I just felt like a bit boring. And then I thought, this isn't what I used to be like. But then I thought, but I had the best time in Ibiza and I had the best time at these weddings and holidays are better. But there's just that wobble. And I think it should be quite normal to question it because, you know, it's a what now situation. So my what now has been turned round into, I don't know why the wobble came. I just felt boring. But then I thought, I look at drunk people and I think, yeah.
Did you feel boring, or did you worry that you were seen as boring?
Worry I was seen as boring.
Right.
When other people were having loads of fun, but they were drinking and I was struggling to get into something, if I struggled to get into the flow, because I'm not a night person. So Ibiza was great because it was day. Give me an evening event and I really want to be in bed for like 11 latest. So yeah, it was sort of that a crisis of boringness. And, but again, it's that, okay, that is one night or one wedding or one, whatever it is of an evening, to then undo every single day where everyone in my family is getting on better and doing better because of it. So I have to just take my little head, give it a wobble and say, that doesn't matter. That doesn't really matter. Nobody actually notices if you're boring because, you know, they're all drunk. So
I totally get it. Go on. What were you going to ask, Jazz?
Yeah, well, it sort of ties in. Just going back to what you said, Melody, like for the first time you said that you felt like an adult, a grown up. And it reminds me of what Craig Beck said on the January episode. He did a recording with us earlier this year. And he talks about, you know, you reach a certain age, you've been doing this for years, and whatever age that might be. And it's like, just time to grow up. And it really stuck with me. And I was like, you know, 5 years in, just over at this point. And I thought, yeah, it's not a great look, is it, being 44 years old, mother of three, sloshed, out and about till God knows what time. There does come a point, I think, where you go, yeah, growing up. And then when you have cracked it and you have removed the booze, you do feel different. Feels like it, you know. Should have always felt like this.
Yeah, it feels right, doesn't it? It feels right. I feel like we are trying to achieve all these things, especially potentially as like a mother and thing. You know, we have to get everything right and make sure everyone's dressed and fed and on time. So it kind of has felt like it's clicked. And it was probably about 9 months in, I was like, oh, hang on, this is all clicking and moving smoothly. And I've figured out sort of how to cope with certain dilemmas and things like that. So, and I would still be a bit of a chaotic mess, I think, if I was still drinking, and I wouldn't be ironing, washing, doing loads of laundry on a Saturday morning. I'd be hungover.
But it goes back to the Unmumsy Mum episode, Sarah Turner. We've done a couple now, but I think it was the first one where we talked to her about that whole, how it was in my 20s versus, you know, how I feel about it in my 30s, and it's okay for those feelings to change. Like, stuff that I'm 36 now, stuff that I was doing when I was 26, I would now find boring, and stuff that I'm doing now, 26-year-old me would, like, for example, I've had a great few days because the Labour Party conference is in town, and we've been doing loads of coverage of it with work. And I've really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been great. Tell 26-year-old me that's going out to Birmingham getting wrecked every weekend, oh, you're going to absolutely love the Labour Party conference coming to town when you're the editor of a radio station. I'd be like, oh, that sounds boring. But what? You know, it changes. It's fine.
It does.
Doing the Three Peaks a few weekends ago, you told 26-year-old me you're going to spend a whole weekend either on a coach or walking up a mountain. That sounds boring. But you know, now, I mean, you know, it had its dreadful moments, but it certainly wasn't boring. You know, I had a great time doing
that. Very well done on that, Ben. Very well.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It got overshadowed by Shaz's book a little.
I'd rather be doing Shaz's Radio 2 in the Park.
Well, yes, yeah, yeah.
And the Labour.
I mean, we can talk about that as well. Yeah, just to overshadow your event a little bit more, Ben. But sorry, go on.
But you can't judge yourself now by old standards, in the sense of, you know, my dad does stuff that I think's boring. Give me 30 years, I'll probably be well into it. And I'm not going to go into it and reveal my dad's, because he listens to this podcast every single week. Hi, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
What does Kevin do?
What do you mean? All sorts of boring stuff, which I'm sure I'll love in 30 years' time. Do you know what I mean? Do you get what I mean, Melody? The kind of, you know, yes, boring, it can change.
It's all relative, isn't it?
It's all relative to where you 100%. Are now. You know?
Yeah. However, I was a mum at 25. And I, you know, that's quite young considering everyone else. And at the play dates that I would create, I would be serving Prosecco. And a lot of the girls would be looking at me like, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And be like, yeah, but, you know, Friday.
Yeah.
And looking back now at some other people's reactions and how I just didn't get it at all. In fact, could sometimes be really annoyed that they didn't want to start drinking with me at that time because, you know, we were mums and we didn't have anything else to do. But it's just, like I said, everything was influenced so much from my sort of childhood and movies and things like that at the time. It's kind of inbred into into your brain. But yeah.
It's been ace listening to you sharing, and it's been so relatable. Another comment here from one of our community members, Melody, you are doing so well. Fantastic guest. So relatable. And it's right that there'll be people listening to this now going, yeah, there's Melody telling some of my story. How would you sum up then the last 1 year, 1 week and 1 day as a mother that now doesn't drink and as an OTI community member?
Magical. Eye-opening and present.
That came with an arm swish.
Like
for
a
those
ta-da.
Who
yeah.
With us, like a da-da. I went to drama school. <didn't happen>. When you said explain, did you mean one word?
I don't care how you did it. Like, no one's bothered. It's what it means to you.
It was an open brief. Yeah. It was an open brief.
Yeah. I need more specific, I think. Just better. Life's better. Life is much better. And you know what? I'm so much more confident. It's just, it's eye-opening. It is eye-opening. And it's really hard at the beginning. It is. But you've just got to stick with it. and I just feel like I knew, I don't think anyone ever saw this for me out of the people that know me. So I think if I can do it, and I couldn't have done it without OTI, I can't say that. I cannot 100% honestly say that if I didn't have OTI, I wouldn't have been able to do it, because when I'm flat, I come to see you guys on Zoom. And when I'm happy, I come to see you guys on Zoom. And when I'm worried or nervous about an event or I need some advice, I come here. I went on, wrote a post saying I might drink today for my husband's birthday. That was 1 month in. I had so many people say, don't do it, try this, try that. And I didn't drink that day, 1 month in, because I put myself in the forum and said, I might do it, I'm thinking of it. And everyone said, don't. And I had accountability and friends. I've made so many friends. And we've got my rage sister, Lauren, who's got her 1 year next week, and then Bethany over in New Zealand,
Canada,
who's doing so well as well. And it's just, when you make and meet people and you get so invested in everyone's stories, and it's just the best.
You know what, nothing further to add. It's absolutely amazing. For somebody that started out on this episode saying, oh, I'm nervous, I don't know if I'll be able to talk and all the rest of it, I'd say you've done pretty flipping well, Melody.
Did a great job, Melody.
Did a great job. Absolutely amazing. Melody, we're so glad that you found OTI when you did. We're very grateful that you gave us a chance. And it has been and continues to be an absolute joy just to see you grow and change and flourish. And as you touched on there, that confidence, it's just glorious. So thank you for being a fabulous guest on Over the Influence.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.